The podcast you're about to listen to contains adult language and sexual themes. If you're under 18, please leave now. Please use discretion when listening at work. If you find anything about this podcast offensive, get your panties out of a wad and stop listening. Now, on with the show, bitch.
I'm gonna need someone to help me. I'm gonna need somebody. Well, hell, here we are again. Episode, I don't fucking know, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be the next one.
Yeah, we'll figure it out later.
We will figure it out later. We have a special guest today, and we will get to him just in a few seconds if he will just
shut the fuck up.
Yes. Because we have something special for you. We have something special for our guests. But the guest on this is the TNA podcast. My name is Jason Roach.
My name is Sam Hall.
And this is, we don't know what episode this is because we've gone into fucking bullshit to where we're doing this stuff way too far in advance. Thanks, StreamYard. You can blow me. But this is what we're having to do. But we will make this very short. Sam, how are you?
Meh.
Nobody gives a fuck. I am excellent, but nobody gives a fuck about that either.
Just brag about it.
But anyway, we have a special guest, and we never have done this before, but I'm actually going to give our guest theme music, so here we go.
You think you know me.
All right.
Pop your fists if you feel me. Holler if you hear me. It's the undercover brother, the head advocate of the Big Titty Committee in the motherfucking house.
All right. Not to be confused with Adam Copeland or Edge. But I knew that was your, I knew that was your favorite wrestler, correct?
And that's my favorite song of all time. So you hit me with a double whammy, Jason.
I nailed it. That's what I do.
I love you guys. This is why I'm friends with you both.
Well, we'll see if he can nail this one. What's the name of the band that plays the song, Jason?
I don't know. I just closed it out of fucking YouTube.
Alter Bridge.
Alter Bridge, exactly.
Is it really?
Alter Bridge.
Alter Bridge.
I got that damn CD.
Well, I
have the damn CD too.
I wonder how much the fucking rights to that cost, because Vince McMahon paid for them, and then Tony Khan, I think, paid for them, because I'm positive that Edge doesn't own them.
Actually, I think Edge might own some rights to it. I read something not too long ago that Edge has some rights to it, I think.
They were pretty tight.
They're like, tight. They're boys. Yeah, Alter Bridge and Edge are boys. Like, WWE has used a lot of Alter Bridge's songs for content, whether it be for stuff. They used another song of Alter Bridge's. They have been using it for quite some time. Was it The Other Side, which came off of the Last Hero album? And then they also used a song for Edge's DVD, which was from their AB3 album, which is called Ghost of Days Gone By. Phenomenal song. Phenomenal album.
Someone's an Alter Bridge fan.
They're my top three. It's literally Bon Jovi, Nickelback, Alter Bridge in that order in my top three.
Wait a minute.
So I'm guessing Miles is your all-time favorite singer now.
He's up there.
Okay. All right.
You just
sit over there.
You want a fucking room?
No, you can sit there and watch.
I bet he'd like it too.
we have digressed so fucking far that everybody, this is Motorboat and Matt, which that gimmick is kind of past. Mm-hmm. The undercover brother, the producer, and one of the hosts of the Bromigos podcast. And
most importantly,
a bitch.
What? What did you say fuck me for?
No. He is the head advocate of the Big Titty Committee.
Yes.
This is why he hangs out with us, because we have the TNA.
Anything goes wrong, you can just blame it on the old farts.
Yes.
Yeah. Blame and, can't blame the young buck.
You have been a friend of ours since we, and I'm going to go ahead and just throw this out here and get it out of the fucking way.
And a possible illegitimate child
of mine.
Just a friend
of mine. I don't remember that trip to Jersey. I really don't. But
I need a paternity test, Jason. Dad, is that you?
What the hell? But we actually met you through another podcast that you did, and I am not going to mention that podcast because fuck them. That's why. But anyway, anybody who makes that confusion who has listened to the episodes will know where Matt has been. And where Matt is now going is what we're going to find out. But he is, I said, the producer and one of the hosts of the Bromigos podcast. Very different from what you had, what you had done before. And to be honest, I'm not going to talk shit, but you know, I talk a little shit.
Nice eyes, Jason, by the way.
What?
I like those circles. They're pretty and white.
Well,
perfectly circular,
and they accentuate my grandmotherly fucking glasses. Everybody can blow me.
I was talking about this shit. I'm gonna tell you what. Your glasses.
Here's the deal. I'm a vegetarian.
Yeah. I love that shit.
So, I may look the old part, but hey, I still got some. But
as you were saying, though,
yeah, the other gig ended. In a bad way, in a fucked up way. We'll just leave it at that. In a fucked up way.
Let's put it this way. And this is all I'm going to say about it. There were some things said on the Bromigos podcast that I wish could have been handled better and said in a better way. And I regret the reason for leaving my old show. I don't regret leaving the show itself. Just know, ladies and gentlemen, that I do. I'm very proud of the body of work I had there.
Yeah.
But at some point it was time for a change, and with all due respect to the old show, I wasn't getting any better being a part of that show as I felt like I was doing my current show, which is Bromigos. And I'm sure we can get all into that and what we do on there, but, it's up to you guys to do. You're driving the ship. I'm just here for the ride.
And as always, we will be posting your links in our show notes. This brings me to something current with us. And I know Matt's here. And this is an interview. But at the same time, I'm almost looking at it as you're the third host.
Yeah, this don't feel like an interview to me.
Because we're
a conversation for me.
Yeah,
this is even an interview. This is the conversation.
We're friends, and I mean you are part of our little community on Facebook.
Yes, I am.
Get after the TNA podcast. Yeah, get hey.
I have the shirt, by the way.
Yeah, yeah,
I know. I have the shirt, and I'm very happy that I have the shirt. So does my other co-host on the other show, on my old show. That we both have shirts, and it's fantastic. I'm glad that we are the four of us all now have shirts with the only shirts made in the world.
Yep. And this was when we interviewed Diane Andrews, it was like I had to tell her the story. And then when she seen the shirt, she's like, oh, shit, that's fucking hilarious. And to have somebody in that position to go ahead and be like, that's fucking hilarious. It's like, great. I thought for sure you'd be like, nope, fuck you guys. But we had a little something go wrong with us. To backtrack, we had a little recent drama. We had we were part of a network.
Oh yeah, you're talking
about this. That and I'm only going to say very 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 little about this. But we were a part of a network that broadcast on Roku and Amazon Fire, and we had a little bit of a misunderstanding, a little miscommunication with the tech end of it. And they were very abrupt and very to the point with me, because I'm the one that fucking puts all this shit up, that I was doing something wrong that was hindering their network. Number one, if your network is so fragile that this old bastard, this old vegetarian, can put one little thing in a title of a file that fucks up your shit, change your shit. Because, you know, the ampersand in the TNA podcast as a file name crashed their network. And I wasn't even going to say this much about it, but this is honest.
That's true.
This is exactly what happened. Now, am I going to talk shit about them? I'd love to, but am I going to?
Oh, I know you would.
Fuck them. Because a very good friend of both of ours is still on that network, and I wish them all the luck in the world. But we've now transitioned over to doing video and posting it to our YouTube channel. But we'll talk about bullshit later.
They could have definitely handled it better.
They could have been direct, but they could have been polite about it. And in the messages that you showed me, Jason, there's a lot of what I would call condescending nature to it. And like talking down to somebody.
And that's
the vibe I got. And that I read that. I said, he was like, that don't sit well with me at all. I would take that person.
I got that message before I was going to bed.
Oh, it's even worse. I knew. Now you can't sleep. Can't sleep because you're angry.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I'm laying there going, you motherfucker. And I'm trying to put it out of my head. And I'm like, you know. And then I'm trying to rationalize it, going, okay, this is about the podcast. This is just a little piece of, you know, I still got to go to work tomorrow, and this is, you know, whatever. It'll be fine. But I'm fuck you. I could not put it out of my head. But anyway, I digress. That's what we always do.
Yeah.
How did the whole, because I keep looking at your title under you, how, and your gimmick, how did the whole undercover brother happen?
The way it happened comes from a simple sentence I said very early on in the Bromigos episodes. I make friends with a lot of hood people, and Dane Money, aka Dante, said, "Matt's an undercover brother." And I said, I like that. Now, keep in mind, I am as white as fucking paste that you used in school to glue your little fucking stickers on something.
That's why we are the way we are. Eating too much of that paste.
I wasn't trying to. I wasn't going to try to discourage you, but I was like,
Jason tends to chug something called. He tends to chug Elmer's glue, but that's code for something else.
So we're just taking the gloves off now, right?
Yeah, let's get that.
Fuck it.
We went from undercover brother to swallowing cum. That's where we're at. That's what you're getting at. This
I got at it.
Have you ever heard these episodes and you had to go code?
Oh my God, man. Code. Hey, here's a code for you.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah,
I'm not even gonna fucking hide it. There's a little noise there.
I wish I was drinking. I'm not drinking tonight, unfortunately. That should have been changed the second this we started recording this, but I can't go. I can't leave my mic now. Thanks, Sam.
I got one right here. We can do like a virtual one or something.
I'm just pulling right over here.
I'm the producer. I can edit like a motherfucker. You can do whatever you need to
do. Could you like CGI a nice like whiskey on the rocks in my hand, like right here?
Oh God. We're dealing with the armpit of America's fucking internet right now. We can barely do this.
Hold on. This is a legitimate question. Why do people? So there's two states that I know people shit on all the time for no fucking reason, and that's Ohio and New Jersey. I don't know what the fuck people have beef with us for.
Well,
yeah, I've been living in Ohio for since 2006 or so, and I still haven't quite figured it out.
Here's the thing. You're talking to two guys that are from West Virginia.
Yeah.
Well, that's also true. I forgot you guys were West Virginia. I was wondering to myself where the West Virginia came in.
But because if you leave here and get out on this road and drive about 10 miles due south, you will cross the Ohio River and you will be in West Virginia. That's how close we are. But both of us migrated over here, jobs, just, you know, whatever, living, you know.
Vagina.
That's mine.
It's always for vagina.
I was just saying, would you like me to help you?
No, because you're completely fucking worthless. That's what you do.
All I had to do was this.
Well, by the time I go,
Jason's over here doing this
We've done this interview thing now with the video. We've done this probably a half a dozen times, and you think we'd be getting into a groove. It's getting easier. But
oh, yeah.
Before doing, you know, 50 plus episodes all audio, we're sitting here going,
That would be so, Jason. So,
I was gonna say that's a typical Saturday night for Jason when he was that's where all the fucking glue came from.
Well, thanks, son. I appreciate that.
He's a two-fister.
But
two-fister now, and then one in the back.
Now we can't do this shit, so I'm still trying to, like, I don't know, use a little Jedi mind trick and be like, he's ever going.
Oh yeah, there's times he'll write. He'll be talking, and I can see him in the corner of my eye. He's writing something down on a piece of paper, and he'll turn and try to show it to me. And I gotta stop, put my glasses on. So it's like, there's no sense in hiding it at all.
Not at all.
So we have come up with the fact that you got called undercover brother by one of your co-hosts early on.
Yes.
So you adopted that moniker, and you've gimmicked yourself up a little bit there with the chain and the.
I have.
You need like a fucking fedora with a big goddamn feather.
No, first of all, that sounds about white coming from you.
First of all, I own a fucking fedora without the feather, and I rock the son of a bitch.
Listen, thank you very much. You will. You can rock it. I can see you rocking it.
No, it's not allowed in my house.
I do not rock a fedora.
He's not allowed to wear that shit. He's never worn it around me, actually.
I'm just thinking that it would go great with your fucking ensemble. But whatever.
No, it wouldn't. It would not. I used to. So what I used to do, I tried this the first time, and it did not go over well with the other guys. Because the Bromigos podcast is essentially two white guys, two black guys. So I had a bandana that I got from a former job of mine that they were just giving away or whatever. So I took one. And I wrapped it.
Oh, shit.
As a... Because I'm a big Tupac fan, right? So I wrapped it like Tupac, and I opened the show. I opened the show with that. I had my camera off when we started recording. I said, "I got a surprise for you guys," and then I turned it on.
And fucking crickets.
And then everybody was like, "Everybody, their jaw dropped. They were just like, I, this is Dante's words, not mine. Dante's words was, I'd rather you would just whip your dick out." And Mike,
that would have been less offensive.
Less offensive.
Wow.
And then Mike, aka Panama Red, on the show, Mike was telling me, he's like, this is his words, by the way. This is some Wigga shit. This isn't even, you know, the other way. This is some Wigga, like W. So I basically was saying I'd rather see your dick than this. And then I was essentially called a slur.
So how long did it take you to lose the bandana
that day? I was like, listen, I'll take the bandana off, the chain and the sunglasses stay, because everyone's always fuck with me. They're always like, you know, you always sound unseasoned. That's our term for like sounding white on the show. You sound unseasoned. And I'm like, you know what, there's a little personality for you. And then and then it's like, all right, we'll put up with it. So then recently I started adding in a Tupac lyric, which is one of my favorite songs from him, which is Holler If You Hear Me. One of the lines is, which is what I said earlier, pump your fists if you feel me, holler if you hear me. I used that a couple episodes ago. Did not go over well. Like, so I can't do anything. I can't fucking do anything. Like, okay, right.
You lost the bandana, but now you're quoting lyrics. Stop that shit.
Stick to the Frank Sinatra and things like that. Yeah.
And I did it my way.
Wow, that have some wonderful harmonies there.
Hey, I really started it. You guys could have chimed in at any moment. You chimed in at the last fucking second. I was on point until you came in.
So you talked about the show. Tell us how the show came about and what you guys do.
Oh, first of all, before you start that, maybe guys happen to listen to it, would you like to say a special hello to each one of them on the show?
They don't listen to this fucking trash.
They probably won't listen to it, but I'll do it anyway. Shout out to my guys, Panama Red, Day Money, and the Hoochie Man, Hunter. So
Because you know why? You know why they're not going to listen to this?
Why is that?
We're really white.
They're going to be saying, can you hear them fellas when they're talking? You should listen to their damn voices.
I would like it duly noted at the end of every show, it's happy trails, honkies.
They're probably being like, well, Dante and Mike, since they're black, they'd be like, this is some honky shit right here.
Oh, yeah. This is Southern fried honky shit here.
This is some Southern fried honky shit right here. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah, go ahead. So, tell us about the show.
So I met the guys. So back in 2022, from March to May, I was a part of the Connecticut School of Broadcasting, which is in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And it's like a school that teaches you like different aspects of broadcasting, things of that nature. I was trying to find my way back into the industry because this was like post COVID and everything had kind of shut down on that side of what I wanted to do. So I was like finding new ways to and new disciplines to, you know, put on a resume, for lack of a better term. So through there, I met the guys, and you know, Mike will probably tell you this part of the story better than I could. But he essentially will claim, and is probably true in this matter, that he created the gang, you know, because we were doing a group project, and Hunter got picked first. Hunter picked Mike, and then Mike was delegating to him, pick Matt, then pick Dante. And then from there, we all just became cool. And we decided during one of our courses that, you know, it was like a podcast part of the course that we were doing. And we're just like, yo, why don't we just do this after we finish up the course, which was like an 8-week course. So we decided that's what we wanted to do. We kind of formulated what we wanted to talk about. And it's kind of a show about everything. You know, we talk a bunch of stuff that, you know, I know you guys don't talk about stuff. We talk politics. We talk social issues. We talk music. We talk sports. Sports is probably one of the main ones. Pop culture, stuff like that. It's a lot of different topics we talk about. I think we kind of, for the most part, we kind of handle it pretty well. Granted, and the thing about our show is what makes it so unique is that it's different points of view. You know, I simplify it and say two white guys, two black guys. But, you know, we have Panama Red, who is the oldest of us all at like 38 or 39 years old almost.
Wow. And old guy.
He's an OG. He's an OG. But he's a well-traveled man. He's got, you know, he's been in the army. He's seen and done it all. Basically, he'll tell you about it. And he has told about it on the show. I'm the second oldest. You know, I have my some life experiences, but I more or less am the, as you said, the acting producer of the show and kind of the guy that a good portion of the time steers the ship. Hunter is the next oldest. He's the other white guy on the show. He came on a little bit after we started recording, but he doesn't say a lot of the time, but when he talks, there's times that it just causes outright hilarity. There's some shit that he says that leaves us fucking on the floor laughing. So, and then Dante is, I believe, the youngest of us all. You know, his bio says on our Buzzsprout site, he's a America's worst nightmare, young, black, and opinionated. So, wait, actually, I can pull it up. I think I might have misquoted that. Hold on. No,
yeah, let's get that right.
Yeah, straighten that now.
No. He's right. He's like, My name is Dante. The homies know me as Daint. America's worst nightmare. Young, black, and opinionated. I was
there
right.
There you go. So his words, not yours.
His words, not mine. His words, not mine. But I think what makes our dynamic is unique is because we have different points of view on certain things. Like when we talk about the social issues with, say, African-Americans, you know, I find myself learning a lot from them. Mike and, Panama and Daint specifically. And Hunter and I kind of get educated on some things. You know, there are times that Hunter will talk about things that I didn't know about as far as sports goes. I offer my opinions when I can, but I'm most of the time the producer role, but I'm part of the conversation clearly.
Right.
But, I put my two cents in where I think I need to put my two cents in. And most of the time I'm laughing my ass off at everybody else saying dumb shit. So.
But it
you're enjoying the ride.
Yeah,
I'm enjoying the ride for the most part, but I have a good time. And I might be underselling my role in the show a little bit because that's just the type of person I am. But, you know, I have a pretty prominent role, but I also, the other guys, I try to give them more shine too because I think that they deserve it, you know?
Well, it's it's an interesting concept, having the two black guys, two white guys, and then covering everything.
Yeah.
It's not just, you're just not hammering politics or the social part of it. It's everything. With us, we kind of go around pussy and poop.
Oh, we talk about pussy too. We talk about pussy too. Well,
but we pigeonholed ourselves.
But you know what?
It does seem to fall into those two categories.
But you know what? Compared to you, the reason why you guys are so successful is because you've been able to hone in on that niche a little bit more. Ours is so broad that I feel like we don't necessarily have a niche to hone in on most of the time, which is why sometimes it might be hard to grow a show like that. Because it's really just a bro talk show when you really break it down to brass tacks. It's just that we try to offer our opinions, and sometimes those opinions draw the ire of other people, depending on the topic. And I won't get too much into that. Mm. But it's
as long as the conversation is interesting, it doesn't matter what you're talking about.
Most of the time, they are interesting conversations. Right? They are interesting conversations. I find myself learning more from that show than I, and this is of no disrespect to 6ix9ine Whiskey, because, I name dropped.
I'll edit it out.
Yeah, that's an edit. No, all due respect to the other show I was on, while it was great and I learned a lot of aspects of that niche, which I thought was helped me a lot personally, I was able to grow as a host and a broadcaster more with the other show, which is why I'm sticking with that for the time being. Because in broadcasting, you got to be diverse. You know, you can't just stick to one thing all the time. Because I know radio shows that cover a broad array of topics, have a broad array of guests. And that's kind of what I want to do.
There's nothing. We ended up doing this just because we wanted to be legit in the beginning. You know, we told you that before.
Yeah, I remember you telling me
we were going to do it. But God damn, we just ended up with more pussy, poop.
Where did that second half come from?
Me. But
what we're famous for.
We just ended up being more comedy than anything.
And we're comedy too. We're comedy too. At least I consider us to be a comedy podcast at times.
And whenever we talk to anybody or I pitch the show to anybody, I always say that. I'm like, we're an adult themed comedy podcast. That's the thing, because if you're offended by language, don't want to listen to this.
Yeah, don't listen to us.
Yeah, because you don't know what the hell you're going to hear, especially when it starts with Urban Dictionary shit. I had a career in radio when I was really young. I was 19, 20, and I had an on-air job at a radio station. They did classic rock on the FM, country on the AM, with the three shut-ins that were fucking listening to AM radio. And I mean, this is like 91, 92. So I did that job for like two and a half, 3 years before I went to the job that I'm still at after almost 30 years. But I never got over wanting to do something. And of course, all the things I learned in broadcasting at that point are gone. There is nothing other than a microphone that fucking, you know, a microphone and a analog board still can be a component. But that's it. I mean, I was actually doing spots on tape, you know, like, and actually editing tape with a razor blade and
I can't imagine what that was like. I am spoiled because I could just do everything into Audition. Like, for instance, like I'll name drop a specific friend of ours. You know, Miss Ruin Willow has me commissioned to do some stories for her in the coming weeks. And I'm lucky that I don't have to worry about any of that. So
Did you see his jaw drop when you said, "Oh, splice
the tape"? Yeah, I'm actually splicing tape with a goddamn fucking razor blade and taping it together.
Sometimes when people hear that you're old, it doesn't really settle in, and certain things hit them like, "Wow, they really are."
Yeah. And you're playing like spots and stuff were on what they called carts that were basically 8-track tapes, and you would stick them in a cart machine and you'd be like, we're going into a break, and pow, you hit the first one, next one, next one, next one. And you get your minute and a half or 2 minutes of fucking spots, get back into music. But you would have to take those, you would have to do a reel-to-reel recording, then dub that to a cart if you had production work to do. So if you're doing a commercial for whatever, grocery store, car lot, whatever, then you got to find your own fucking music. This was fucking podunk bullshit anyway. Find your own fucking music, put it all down there in this little tiny production studio that was literally the size of a closet.
I was in there. Yeah.
and put all this shit together. And then when you play it on the radio, it's like, man, it sounds fucking great. And you're like, oh, this is, you know, you could big fancy DJ. I'm like, I'm making minimum wage. And I am on a fucking shoestring. You have no idea how we put this shit together. And it's like the people who are writing the copy for me can't spell.
So I'm like, okay. Everything you're describing is essentially, if I die and go to hell, this is what my hell is going to look
yes,
like.
Yes. If you it's were this. A perfectionist, if you were a perfectionist in audio.
Yeah. Hi.
Yeah.
I want to die. I want to die again just to make sure I get out of there.
And that is why you are the fruit of my loins, because I am allegedly. Too. And I've become, well, allegedly. That's why this was another opportunity to do it. I was being selfish and I'm like dragging him along with it, going to do a podcast.
Well, now,
a podcast.
Jason knew that he needed some talent to get this show going.
And the Alonzo was the perfect man.
The Alonzo stepped in to fill in.
Let me tell you something.
That spot.
Let me tell you something. When Sam says I'm a podcaster, you know what the fuck that means? That means I'm a podcaster. I go into my spare bedroom and sit in front of a microphone with some headphones on and pop a fucking beer and go, pussy. I'm a podcast.
Tell me a story about you pooping yourself.
I don't miraculously know how it goes to the interweb. I don't know how it gets there.
You might not believe it, Matt, but I've had no training in broadcasting. This is all natural right here, baby.
You know what's funny though? You know what's absolutely fucking hysterical? Is that a lot of people still consider themselves podcasters. And you know what? I'm gonna be a little bit on Sam's side here. Technically, what he's doing is podcasting as much as the next guy, because a lot of people don't do any effort into their shows anyway.
Yeah.
That's true.
So he's not wrong. He's not wrong when he says that.
Jason,
it's, well,
do your job and edit this show. That's it.
He just sits down, turns on his fucking personality, and whatever comes out. But even on a night like tonight, when we're talking to you, there's a little bit of preparation, a little bit of at least forethought. Especially,
and at least you're familiar with me, which is
And I will give him credit. He does research, like when we have other, but it's always funny because the ones he does research on are on OnlyFans.
And that was my research on my other podcast. A lot of that was my research. I was like, porn, OnlyFans. You know. Yeah.
And I said tits. That
nice.
He said that in the last one. It's like, why does your research require Jergens lotion?
And tissues, but, lots of tissues.
And tissues. Yeah,
lots of.
No, he's an old man. It's just like dust.
Yeah, it's a Swiffer.
So as I had
that's
mentioned,
a good impression right there.
Fuckers.
As I had mentioned, you are a member of our private group on Facebook. And I got to be honest, since we're talking about, you know, you and I message each other quite a bit, but you had said something to me probably, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, months ago.
What was it, a month ago?
You were like, you guys have created a really cool or nice community. I can't remember exactly how you phrased it.
I know. I remember saying that. I don't know how I phrased it either, but I know what you're trying to say.
Yeah. And
he can't remember his lies.
Shut up. there's some underlying shit there when you can't remember what was that true or was that not. But that actually struck me as something. I'm like, I really hadn't thought about that, because we're active there, but it pretty much runs itself. And now, you know, it's a very small group. We only got like 88 89 members, something like that.
Well, it used to have like fucking a lot of members. And then it became a fucking shit show for you guys. Which is understandable because there was a lot of fucking people in there and a lot of creeps, to be honest.
A lot of creeps.
And we've kept it. Everybody that is in that group now knows what this show is. They have listened to this show.
Yes.
And I would like to, you know, myself personally would like to grow it more, but not to a ridiculous degree like it got. But when you said that to me about it being a cool community or good community or something like that, I'm like, I never really thought about that. I'm just looking at titties. And then and then it did dawn on me. I'm like,
I'm just popping in once in a while, making smart ass remarks.
Fucking midnight fucking drunk. Fuck you guys.
I'm sitting here about shit face going, I think I'll say something smart ass and just jump out of there.
You busted my balls a handful of times on some shit.
He's one of those.
And by the way, once again, the website and all that stuff, Jason, I had nothing to do with it.
Well, thanks for admitting that.
You're welcome.
But I think we've established that.
No one will believe me. They know who the real
you just look at either if anybody looked at either one of us and go, which one of those guys are the tech wizard?
The tech gizzard. The technical gizzard.
I bet it ain't the guy with the big old Santa Claus beard.
Oh, really?
Shocker.
Really? Which one's got this beard?
Mine's much more dense.
Yeah,
you still have a little bit of pepper in the salt there, so I don't know if I classify it as Santa yet.
This is bullshit. I'm jealous.
Well, I mean, look at me. I mean, I have a nice little bit of scruff on today.
You scruff.
This is actually all gonna be gone by tomorrow. Because
why?
I don't like growing my beard out a whole lot. This is about the absolute longest I want it to be. I look much better with like, how do I describe it? If I was to trim this down, give it like 2 days after I trimmed it down, that's like peak beard for me.
Gotcha.
You know, like that's like where I'm at. That's where I feel like my most sexy, for lack of better terms. But this is fine too. It's just a fucking pain in the ass when it gets all itchy and shit. It's like, you know. But the beard oil is gonna. But the beard oil looks phenomenal in this.
You know what? My most sexy is.
What's your most sexy, Jason?
About 1997.
Hey, that's what. Wait. That's when I was born.
Yeah.
Oh.
Whoa.
I was. Yeah.
He was on his East Coast tour.
Yeah.
He's on the East Coast tour. Then
it's the Roachman Fuck Tour. Coming to a town near you.
Coming in a town near you.
Coming in a town near you.
But mine is like, this is getting ridiculous. I mean, this is like,
talk about ridiculous. Really, how in the fuck did we get on the topics of beard?
Hey, shut up. We're just rolling with it.
You're the one showing off his beard.
This is, I'm doing like the conditioner and the beard oil and all that stuff. I thought in my head I was going to do the whole, it's going to be down here. There is no fucking way that's happening because I eat a fucking sandwich. It's going to my fucking mouth now when I'm like, just the mustache. I'm like, what the fuck is that? So I'm like, okay, I bought all this beard shit to do this. I'm going to probably maybe tomorrow, like you mentioned, maybe tomorrow or next week, I'm going to cut all this down to a goatee.
And which I'm just the last time I think I saw you had a goatee. Yeah. I was like, he has a beard this time.
That's usually what I wear is a goatee. And I'm going to keep this length and I'm going to grow the goatee down to about right here.
Oh, I like
that. I'm going to put braids and shit in it. I'm going to totally look like a guy. Fuck. I'm going to totally look
like the guy from Anthrax or what was it? Anthrax or Slayer. Yes. One of those guys like that. That's metal as fuck, Jason.
And my,
you talking about the bald guy?
Yeah. The bald guy.
Yeah. That's Anthrax. It's
Anthrax. All right. It was Anthrax.
Keep trying to think of his
name. He's the bass player.
I think it's Ian.
Ian. He's the bass player, right?
No, a guitar player.
Okay, fuck off.
I just want to
talk about metal music with you guys. Fuck you. Talk about Merle Haggard.
Well, you know, like Black Sabbath. That's about all you know metal wise, isn't it?
Generals gathered in their masses. Oh yeah. Love me some Sabbath. No, 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 don't do it. Yeah.
Finger got a little wrapped up on that one.
We got gimmicks too.
It's just there. It's there.
But
I'm not the only one with props tonight, it seems.
Yeah. my lover, going back to my beard for a second, because that's where we are. Fuck off.
No, what I was gonna say before I forget. Because I just love to interrupt him, and it's great.
I know you do. It's great. It's
fucking awesome.
That's why you two.
The undercover brother. You need something to go along with those shades. You need some facial hair that's proper for your gimmick. Jason, you're the facial hair kind of guy. What?
I would tell you, perfect for him. Chops.
Oh, muttons.
No.
Yes. Yeah. Turn sideways. Okay. So,
oh yeah.
Hear me out. Hear me out.
I can see him.
Cut the mustache off.
Ooh.
No.
Whoa. Just hear me out. Cut the mustache off to the chin.
Mm-hmm.
Go up.
Yeah.
Like maybe 2-3 inches from past like your chin.
Uh huh.
Make a straight line.
Yeah.
And then keep everything down here bare.
Uh huh.
And just keep that. And let it grow maybe another week and a half from where it's at.
The Lemmy?
No.
No, I thought you were going with the Lemmy there.
I did the Lemmy. I did the Lemmy at the time.
That's the handlebar across from there, right?
That's the Triple H rip off. Yeah, I did that. I did that back before this completely went white. But I rocked that for a while, and it didn't look bad at all. At least I didn't think so.
I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can rock that. See, the weird part is I think I did do that once when I was a much younger man, even though I'm only 26, but I think I did that when I was like in fucking high school once. And I was just like, this is stupid. I don't even know why. I think I know why I did it. It was Halloween and I wanted to look like CM Punk. I had a CM Punk shirt and everything. So I did, because CM Punk was rocking the chops too for a little bit there for about 6-8 months. And I was like, I had the CM Punk shirt. I'm like, CM Punk was my favorite wrestler at that time because Edge had already retired. And I did the mutton chops then for that day for Halloween. That's why I did it. I remember now.
So
that was a stupid idea, though.
Okay. Okay. Here's a transition.
Uh huh.
Since you and Sam were fucking fanboying over shit that I don't know who the fuck they are, what do you think about CM Punk jumping ship? And coming back.
Fuck. You know,
I tell you what, it's money.
I 100% agree. The weird part for me is I was like really, really, really happy he came back when he came to AEW, because no one thought he was ever going to come back to wrestling ever again. Right. So obviously that unfortunately goes south. And if you know the story, you know, and that kind of left a bad taste in my mouth on all sides of the spectrum.
Right.
With AEW and everyone involved in that situation, with Punk and the stuff that he was saying about everything. Then we get to when he gets back to WWE. And, you know, I just can't help but like the little, you know, teenage Matt just, you know, jumping for joy inside the heart, you know, just mm-hmm. I want to be mad at you, but I can't.
But I also noticed, I noticed because, you know, I follow it. I'm an old school wrestling fan. I'm from the late 70s, early 80s. That stuff, like the Crockett NWA stuff, that was our stuff here because you didn't have cable. You're 26 years old. You don't know what life is like without cable. We did. We had like 3 fucking channels, yep. Sometimes 4 if you got lucky.
If you tuned that little knob just right.
Yeah. So what we got was Crockett Promotions, which was actually ended up what we would get on the first Superstation, whatever. It was Georgia Championship Wrestling. Anyway, so from that point all the way to today, I've continued to be somewhat of a fan. I'm more of a historian.
As am I. I agree.
I like doing that shit, but I will watch stuff that I have no interest in AEW whatsoever. I thought it was cool. I did see the whole thing with Edge coming back, and I saw a little bit of that. Sting was my favorite wrestler, so he's still wrestling. think it's a bad idea. He's getting ready to be done.
Yeah, he's got about 3 weeks left on that.
Yeah, yeah. And hopefully, to God, they don't fucking kill him. Because, I mean, like, last year, he's diving off a balcony onto a fucking table with a guy out in it. So he's 65.
But the fact that he can even do that in his 60s is insane. That's
crazy.
But anyway, I digress back to Punk. I was kind of pumped up that he came to AEW because, like you, I thought he was done. And when he came out and he did the promo and all this other shit, he buried WWE on his promo, which
there was times he buried them a little bit.
Yeah. But then all the bullshit happened with them, what happened behind the scenes with the Bucks and all that shit. He said, fuck this. And, you know, the media scrum where he's sitting there, he's like, I'm old, I'm tired, I'm beat up, and I work with children. That wasn't scripted.
I know
he said that. And Tony Khan's like looking at him like, uh-oh. And so they fire him.
Tony Khan's a bitch, by the way.
Yeah.
Just so everyone's aware. I think Tony Khan's a bitch. And also, fuck Tony Khan, who's the part owner of, I guess he's a part owner in Fulham. Liverpool beat them in the Carabao Cup semis today. So eat a dick.
And his dad owns the Ravens.
Jacksonville Jaguars.
Okay. Oh, his dad, he's got more money than McMahon. He's a billionaire.
Good Lord.
He's the only one that can afford to run a wrestling program.
He should be able to afford a better team.
But all of a sudden, they fire Punk because he supposedly knocked the shit out of somebody in the back and blah, blah, blah.
Threatened to knock the shit out of somebody in the back.
Jack Perry. Yeah. Luke Perry's son is a wrestler, Jack Perry.
Really?
He's a punk bitch.
Luke Perry, the actor.
Yes, his son.
Boy, that's hard to imagine.
His son who
look
has
up Jungle Boy, Sam.
Yeah. Has a
Jungle Boys?
Yeah, don't look on the porn site. Just look.
Oh, okay.
Look, Jungle Boy.
Shit, AEW. I was going to say, I might know who you're talking about.
It's not in the next videos, damn it.
But
they fire him,
and evidently they didn't even give him a no compete because it wasn't all that long. The no compete would have been at least 90 days. And I kept thinking everybody was like, okay, the Survivor Series is going to be in Chicago. That's his hometown. Blah 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 blah. I'm like, there is no fucking way he's going back to WWE after all the trash talking that he's done. Him and Triple H never got along. Triple H runs the show now. And right at the end of that fucking pay-per-view, they hit his fucking music and the goddamn roof came off that building. Yeah. He walked out there and said nothing. And he just did his gimmick, his entrance, walked back after the
music.
That was it.
That's kind of cool.
That whole building popped. But now that he has been back, I don't know what he signed, but he's completely different.
There's a demeanor about him that I have not seen.
He is 100% babyface. And
here's the thing. He looks happier for one.
Yeah.
And even better, he looks younger.
He does. He does.
So if you look at him, it's like a night and day difference from his time in AEW to the time to his current time in WWE. He looks like he de-aged like 5 years.
And
that possibly speak to him not doing something for quite a while?
No, trust me. You look
was he straight, legit?
Oh, that was his part of his character, but that's actually him. He grew up.
No, it's his lifestyle.
Yeah.
He
grew up the son of an alcoholic.
Ah, okay.
And he is straight edge. I
meant like roids, anything else.
No. If you looked at him,
they're all big time into that.
You look at him, you'd be like, boy, if you're taking steroids, you should get your fucking money back.
That's okay. The guy that I remember in my head did not look like he was a roid head.
Mm-mm.
But it's been a long time since I've seen the guy.
They can build their weight whatever they want.
Oh, yeah.
You know, CM Punk, 5'10", 5'11", 190 pounds, mm-hmm. maybe. But of course, he's 6'1", 225.
Oh, of course, yeah. we used to do that back in high school football, for crying out loud. I mean, that's an old thing, yeah.
But anyway, I just got off on that fucking tangent. But anyway, you were talking about he looks happier.
Yeah,
he looks much happier. If you're going to look up something, look up a wrestler named AJ Lee and then realize that Punk fucks her on a daily. Then you'd be like, I'd be fucking happy too. I mean, that's his wife.
Now, to be AJ is a fellow Jersey girl. If you don't know,
and
I love that. I loved her when she was in wrestling. I had a massive crush on her. But I hope she comes back for the Rumble. The Rumble's a few days. Yep. I don't know when this episode's going to come out, but I hope she's in the Rumble, because the people, all the little girls from like 10 years ago that were big AJ Lee fans, imagine them losing their fucking shit in there when they're like in
the
now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I thought about it. She posted a picture. I saw this secondhand, but evidently she'd posted a picture on Twitter like a week or two ago. And she has like her shirt raised up, like one of those selfies in the mirror. And I mean, she has like a fucking 30 pack. I mean, she is completely fucking ripped.
She's always been ripped though. Like,
she was in good shape when she was wrestling for the WWE the first time.
Yeah.
But she was a good looking little motherfucker. I mean, she's like fun sized. But
that's the type you toss around, and
that's
the type you toss around right there.
The spinner.
But now she's like, she got out of wrestling. She's married to Punk, but she got out of wrestling and doing this other shit. But she was also like a trainer and all this other stuff. But she is like completely fucking transformed her body. She is fucking ripped.
I got one for you. We watched it back in the day, and there weren't a lot of female wrestlers on there. Name the hottest ones you can remember from back, you know, like way back before there became a lot of hot lady wrestlers.
Oh, there wasn't anybody. It was Baby Doll.
Yeah. Miss Elizabeth. But did she even wrestle at one
time?
I kept thinking that at one time she had gotten in there for something, but I can't remember. See, but I mean, where did they just all suddenly.
Well,
boom, you got all these beauties wrestling too.
Because back in the day, I don't want to get off on this fucking tangent, but I'm a historian. Back in the day, you had wrestling territories before McMahon ruined wrestling.
very strong opinions on that.
Well, he did, but it had to be him or somebody else, because nobody knew how things were going to go. And look at us now. You have all these streaming networks. Network TV is like, you know, and the whole cable thing, fuck it. Cable's old news. Back then, cable was coming, whether wrestling evolved or not. He saw it coming.
Mm-hmm.
So he, instead of having the New York territory, which is what his father owned, he bought it from his father. And his father said, if you take this national, you're not going to make any friends. And he took it national. He went, you know, back and forth, went to all these territories trying to buy their TV. Because the TV in, you know, if he came to, say, where we are now, he would buy time on a local station because that's all we had. It might be an ABC affiliate. It might be an NBC affiliate, but it was a local station. Like for us, it would be like WSAZ would be the call letters of the station. He'd say, okay, you guys run wrestling on Saturday nights at 11:30 after the news. I want to buy that time slot and air my shit. And those guys that you're paying this to now or doing this for now is paying you $500 a month. I'm going to pay you $3,500 a month. These guys that are running this fucking television station have no fucking allegiance to anybody and go,
sure, we'll take your fucking money.
Just this.
Money.
Money talks. That's what talks.
So that's
money talks, bullshit walks.
Yeah.
That's how he started taking over stuff before cable. And then cable, he got on a USA Network. It was pretty easy. But anyway, back in the day before that, when you had the territories, you didn't have women wrestlers. What you had was one stable of women wrestlers who traveled around the country and would do like week or 2 week shots. And it was all the same people. It was Moolah.
Yeah, I was about to say that's Moolah, the only one Moolah, that I can remember from back then was Moolah.
Moolah had a group of girls that she trained that she would go to Memphis and work Memphis, like just their shows, not even be on TV, just work their like their live events for like a week or two. Then they would move on to another territory and all this shit. You didn't even know Moolah on TV.
So her main job was really just
she was a promoter.
Yeah, okay. She got in there to the wrestling bit and stuff, but that wasn't really her main role.
No, she started out as a valet.
Okay.
She was, I know too much of this shit.
I have to ask you a question about the Moolah thing, though, because to my understanding, and this is what I hear based on other people who think they're historians as well, is that Moolah used to abuse the shit out of those girls, too.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, Okay. I've heard that. She was pretty salty.
She was like the Harley Race of the fucking of women.
Yeah. Fucking Harley Race. Oh, dude.
Oh, no. I'm not in on a lot of this stuff. When it comes to this knowledge and stuff, I'm not in on it. So
you're casual. You watch it. You enjoy it.
I haven't watched it in a long, long time, but I might catch little clips here and there, maybe on like a TikTok thing or something like that. But as far as it goes for really being up on things for the past, I don't know, 10, 20 years, I'm not.
His last fanboy moment was Goldberg.
Yeah.
In his original run.
The last time I remember jumping up and screaming like, holy shit, was when, it was,
he beat Hogan for the title at the Georgia Dome.
No, it was, one of those surprise things. I'm trying to remember the dude's name. Who's the one that dressed up in the black? He had the white skeleton. La Parka. When DDP dressed up as La Parka and beat, I think it was the Macho Man that one night.
Oh, he fucking got him in the diamond cutter.
Yeah. And then he ripped the mask off and it was DDP. And everybody in the house just went, everybody in my fucking apartment went fucking crazy right there. That's what I was like. That's the most amazing thing. Okay. But that's the last time.
Another fellow I remember. Jersey boy, DDP.
Oh, okay.
Everybody famous comes from Jersey. I'm telling you.
Undercover brother.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm gonna tell this real quick. Talking about Harley Race. You and I remember Harley Race from being a kid.
Yeah,
he had the dome belt, mm-hmm. the original NWA title before mm-hmm. they had the big gold. We were kids, and he was the big deal. He was world champion, but he was always a heel.
He looked like an old fart back then.
Yeah, he looked like an old fart back, but. There are so many stories, and I didn't realize it until I got older and started hearing them, that he was a fucking badass, like legit. He was a
bad motherfucker.
But like not like I'm going to wrestle you and stretch you like Danny Hodge or one of these, you know, Kurt Angle or something like that. No, he was going to knock a fuck out of you. But
and if he had a gun, he'd shoot you.
And he had a gun, he'd shoot you. He didn't fuck around.
Shit, okay.
But I remember watching this interview thing that had Foley on there, and he's like, I got to see Harley firsthand, and he didn't even hit anybody. It was the way he talked. He's like, cause Harley, they talk about like Harley's left hand was the thing of legend. It's like, I've heard Harley say,
I can lay claim to that myself.
if I hit him with my left and he doesn't go down, I will walk around him and see what's holding him up. But
that's a cold fucking line.
Nice.
They were he was wrestling Vader or some shit, and Race had moved into where he was managing Vader in WCW, but they were wrestling somewhere and somehow it ended up on the floor. It's Foley, you know, Foley got knocked into one of the railings or stuff, didn't get his hand up, and he split his fucking eye open and had to get stitches. Well, they were somewhere in New York, New Jersey, somewhere up there or whatever. And they said that it was the sports commission. The commission was like, they had a doctor there. If you got hurt inside the ring, the commission took care of the medical, any medical stuff. But if you got hurt outside the ring, it was bullshit. So it wasn't a true sporting event. You had to take care of that yourself, or it was on the company. He goes back there to get stitched up, and the doctor's like, you know, he's this old guy with fucking bottleneck glass, bottle rim glasses, and all that shit. It's like, I see you get hit there outside the ring, and we're gonna have to. And he said Harley was standing there. Harley said, it was a headbutt inside the ring. And he's like, oh, Harley, now I saw it. I said it was. Hey, Mick, we're going to take care of all this shit. He's like, that's what I saw. I saw that firsthand. He's like, he didn't even hit nobody. He just, the way he was talking, that guy was like, fuck it, we'll pay for it.
So, in Pulp Fiction, how Samuel L. Jackson has the bad motherfucker, what's it called? Harley was the original bad motherfucker.
Yeah. Oh, you mean the wallet?
That was what the wallet was inspired by. Yeah. It was Harley Race. I know we're having a great conversation here, but I got a story to tell you guys. I've been waiting for the last like month and a half.
You told me this.
I did tell you.
You didn't tell me the story. You just told me, I got a story.
I got a story for you, my friend. So I don't know if we covered this the last time I was on the show, but did you guys know I was on a dry streak? A really, really long dry streak?
About the pussy,
yes.
Yes. No.
You didn't know? Did it not come up in conversation? I guess not. But
well,
I usually overshadow everybody with that.
This is
yes, because you just get so much ass
Sitting to my left is the Sahara fucking desert.
I was gonna say you got a dry streak. I'm completely arid over here. Right.
You are the Sahara.
It is fucking Mars.
Okay. So lay it on us.
So I don't know how this came up in the last conversation or if it did, but so undercover brother has been having a tough time with the ladies the last several years, ever since 2020. So 2020 was the last time I got laid.
Whoa.
Yeah, so, I know. So what? This handsome gentleman, you never thought he would not get any pussy, but apparently he gets
like,
pussy.
Sam's like, when you get to 2007, come talk to me.
Sam's like, yeah, when you get the 1998, you come talk to me. Fucking amateurs over here. So either way, so I was having a rough time with ladies, right? So I had the opportunity, Jason, I think you know this because I told you, because I was going on a trip to Myrtle Beach. But before I went to Myrtle Beach to go help my sister move into her new house down there, I took a little detour to Atlantic City, New Jersey, which is the Las Vegas of the East Coast, as I call it, right?
Okay.
So the reason I was even in this little town here was because I was invited to the club by a good friend of mine and prominent fitness/comedy influencer. Does the name Robert Frank 615 ring a bell to you?
No. We're old.
Yeah, you guys are old. So you guys look like you don't hit the weights that
way. And we work out a lot.
guys really work out.
Right? Yeah, I mean, check me out.
Body built by beard and boobs. Boobs is what you guys have.
Booze. Yeah.
Booze and boobs. But well, maybe not so much Sam over there. So either way, I took a trip to Atlantic City to hang out with my boy Rob and his crew on their podcast, which is the Glorious House of Gains podcast. And you know, we were having a good time in the clubs, and one of my goals is to see if I can get some ladies, right? You know, we had a little VIP section, pretty nice size one right by the DJ booth and everything. So towards the end of the night, like an hour left of the club being open, okay, Rob walks up to me, you know, and, you know, Rob is like, you know, Mr. Macho Man over here. So he's helped me a little bit. He's like, why aren't you on the dance floor, Matt? I'm like, I'm just chilling, man. I was like six drinks deep at that point anyway, so I'm feeling myself a little bit. I'm good. I'm nice and soused, if you get my drift. So he's like, so why don't you get on and talk to some chicks? What are you doing over here? Just go out. And then I'm like, you know what? Fuck you. Challenge accepted. So I walked from there to the dance floor. And I'm chilling, dancing, you know, doing my old white boy shuffle sort of thing. And then I see our boy Ray, who's also a part of the show sometimes. You know, he's talking to a group of chicks. Now, keep in mind, Ray is fucking plastered at this point. I don't know what he was looking at these chicks, because I don't know if they thought he was as old as he is. These guys are in their 40s. So these chicks were like around my age, like, you know, early to mid-20s. So I don't know. I'm like, what the fuck is he talking to these chicks for? So I got to go over and see what all the hubbub is about. So then me and this one girl, you know, a little short, you know, a little thick, a little chunky, but, you know, she was cute. She was cute. So we start talking. Right. We start getting to chatting, we start dancing. And then I ask her, I was like, you know, we got a section over here behind me. Right. You know, why don't you come over? I'll make you a drink. Ooh. So she's like, oh, really? I was like, oh, really? I was like, yeah, come with me. I take her hand off the dance floor, take her right back to the section. I give her she wanted straight Tito's. We had Jack Daniels and Tito's. So she wanted straight Tito's and ice. I said, all right, fuck it. That's what I'll give you.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So I made the drink right in front of her. I gave it to her. And we start talking, you know, she's taking some sips. She's giving me sips. I'm like, fuck, I don't even like vodka, but okay. so then we just start having like a little couple minute conversation. All of a sudden she like she takes my like entire body and like pulls me in and starts making out with me.
Yeah.
Damn. Right?
Yeah. So and here's the thing though. So everybody at the Glorious Hats Against podcast knows, because they clown with me. They all know me and they clown me every now and again. Like they know I haven't had a lot of trouble. I haven't had some trouble with the ladies. So everybody is literally seeing this happen and everyone is taking a fucking video.
No.
On their phone.
Oh,
there
yeah.
is a video somewhere.
Oh my.
On everyone's phones of me at different angles too, of me making out with this chick. My brother who was with me, because we were going to have to take a flight to Myrtle Beach anyway the next morning. He was with me and he's like, "Oh, you son of a," he's looking at me. He's possibly been so fucking disappointed in me that I just started making out with this chick right there. I don't know. He must have been embarrassed. He must have had secondhand embarrassment from me. So we are making out. We're feeling each other up and everything. And it is getting handsy, my friends. So then like 5-7 minutes pass.
And her dick lined up against your leg.
Thank God that was. You know, it's funny. There was another dude that was.
It wasn't his leg.
It was the third one, actually. No,
no, we're docking.
It's funny because the chick I was making out with was dressed almost exactly the same as another guy in the section. So everyone's been making fun of me that I've been making out with the guy. And I'm sitting here like, they know it's not the case, but they've been fucking with me about it for weeks. And I'm like, God damn it. Every time I get a win, I still lose. By the way, I was so drunk that day that I have no I don't even know how I recall the story. I guess I was like cognizant drunk. So So we let go of each other, and then I'm like, and then the question comes up, want to take this further? And she's like, "Oh, do you have a room?" I said, "I have a room. My brother might be knocking in the case, because we got to go to bed early because we got a flight, whatever." I don't even know what I said. I don't remember. I was drunk. She said, "Oh, I have a room." Then she takes my hand and starts walking me out of the club.
Oh, yeah.
Out of the club.
Yeah.
To the elevator. We're making out in the elevator for like 30 seconds, forever long it is. And then we go to her room. We open the door. And I'm thinking to myself, damn, I'm going to be in a nice little bed, get the angles all good and everything. Turns out one of her friends was already fucking somebody in the bed. I got a little glimpse of the friend and I was just like, damn, fuck. Oh. she takes me straight to the bathroom. So we just do the rest of our business there. And
fucking
it was,
Blumpkin.
Yeah, it was a fun time. It was nice to get back out there.
Well, did you give her the best 30 seconds of her fucking life? Come on, dude.
I won't confirm or deny the length of which that we had the actual coitus.
What I will say is,
listen, it wasn't that long because I was. I was a little nervous. She was hot. All right. She was hot. And, but what I did do was, even though I had finished a little earlier than I would have liked to, I still got her. I still took care of the girl. Listen to all you gentlemen out there. I still took care of the girl, you know, gave her, went down. I had her sit on my face and everything. I had her sit on my face. It was wonderful. That was the first time that's ever happened. It was the first time it ever happened to me too. It was
and I want to thank you, because I never know when I'm editing this stuff where to get sound bites from.
Fuck you.
So it's like if I put something on like TikTok or something like that, I am going to isolate. She sat on my face and it was wonderful. That is going to be it.
Do it with that animation. Do it with the animation shit that you've been messing around with. Yeah, we got to get some pictures on that.
Oh, yeah.
You know
oh,
what God. I took from this?
What?
Tito's gets you tatas.
Wayman.
You got to remember that.
I'll be damned.
Remember.
So that was how the undercover brother broke a near 4-year-long dry streak.
Well, that is a hell of a fucking story. And you here's the part where things fall off for me and Sam, because I knew you were
mine's
there.
Dried up and fell off a long time ago.
I'm not even talking about that. Sam and I have spent a lot of time in Myrtle Beach. And you're like, I'm going to Myrtle Beach the next day.
Oh, I know.
You had told me, you're like, I'm going to Myrtle Beach. Yeah. I'm like, sweet. You know, and he gets down there and I'm like messaging him going, God, man, you know, all this, and he's like,
I hated it. Okay. It's real. It was a really rough time for me down there. But a part of it is because I had the worst travel day imaginable. So from the highest of highs the night before, I had the lowest of lows the next day. Because after the club, after I got laid, after I went down and, you know, hung out with the rest of my friends, said my goodnights, told them the story and everything.
You had a layover in Charlotte.
No. We had to go to bed, and then 2 hours later, we had to get up to go the airport all the way in Newark.
Oh, wow.
Damn.
So, which is much farther up north. So we went to Newark Airport, you know, waiting for the plane wasn't a big deal, but I was a little nervous because I had never flown in my life before. This is my first you've never time been on a plane.
Hold on. I'm totally invested on this one. Talk to me, Matt.
Let me talk to you. So we get on the plane, you know, it's in the air and all that shit. The turbulence is terrible. It was, my brother is a frequent flyer because he does a lot of different things for Rutgers University that require him to fly, right? My brother was fucking terrified.
Oh, wow.
If my brother is terrified, imagine how the fuck I felt. So not only am I feeling my ears ringing and popping, which is the most uncomfortable thing I'd ever felt, I feel sick to my stomach because of this fucking turbulence. I'm looking over each window on either side and thinking to myself, I'm going to fucking die out here. Like, the plane is I'm like fucking shaking. Like, my head is hitting the fucking top of the ceiling of the plane. That's how bad it is. And me and my brother had to hold each other in between the armrests so that we wouldn't fucking hit our heads on the plane. Like, that's how bad.
That is called shit inducing.
So the worst part was we were flying into a storm in Myrtle Beach. It was already storming down there. So the fucking plane had to fly three times around to get into the airport.
Yep. It had to pick a spot.
I wanted off that plane so bad. And then the worst part, when we finally landed, I'm thinking to myself, oh, God, we can get through the gate. The fucking power of the gate's out. So now I got to sit on the fucking plane for another 45 minutes to an hour when I just want to get the fuck off of the plane because it's a small plane. Like, it's a very tight plane. And I was just like, I am not having fun right now. Let me get the fuck out of here. So when we finally found a new gate and we got off of the gate and we got off, I'm like, okay, good. My mom and my mom and dad had driven the day before while we, my brother, in AC. So we already know they were picking us up in their car. My sister was going to be there with them because my sister has been living there for the past year or so now. And she just bought a new house. What else? So it's storming still. Keep this in mind. This whole time it's raining profusely. We get off. We put our bags in the car. They pick us up. So now we're driving. We're like, you know, the airport's like 10 minutes from where my sister's staying at that time while her house is getting ready. The roads are fucking flooded, gentlemen.
Oh yeah. Oh,
the roads are flooded. And we're on this main road, and the fucking traffic light is down somehow. So they have to detour us to another fucking road, which is nowhere near as safe as what the main road was. So, let me tell the story. Shut the fuck up.
You're recounting all this stuff, and I know exactly where you are.
Yeah.
I can tell you what the name of those roads are, but go ahead.
Well, what was the name of the road then?
You were on 17, and you got, which is King's Highway. And you got detoured onto probably 76 or 31, maybe.
The road started with a B.
Okay. You were B.
It started with a B, as in baby.
Huh. If you were on that, okay. You said a main road. That's like the main. Was she staying in Surfside or, this is riveting fucking
podcast. Dude, let me tell you, when we get down there, we don't even hardly ever need a GPS. This asshole knows where he's going.
Oh, yeah, I know. Well, either way. So either way, this road is nowhere near as safe as the other roads that we have been on. So it's flooded, too. It's fucking flooded. So my dad is trying to drive through this rain. He's not driving very fast. And the water has now proceeded to take our car.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And then send us to the side of the fucking road, half in a ditch, because there's a lot of fucking ditches there for some reason, for this reason, for the rain. So half of our car is now in a fucking ditch.
God.
And there's already three cars on the same road that were already picked up by the water.
Oh, wow.
So now our car is flooded, which was eventually totaled. Our car is now flooded and eventually totaled. Our, we had to literally drag everyone out of the car in the middle of the worst of the flood. And then after that, the infrastructure for this type of thing is so fucking poor that we literally sat there for 3 fucking hours. 3 hours on the side of the road. They Damn. Didn't tow us or nothing until, and then I eventually, some very nice Samaritan, if it's one thing I will say, there's some very nice people down in the South. Some good Samaritan picked up my mom and my sister and drove them to the Airbnb that we were staying at while my sister's house was getting ready. And I waited like a good boy with my brother and my dad. Well, 3 hours later, I'm thinking to myself, what the fuck is this shit? So I said, I'm getting an Uber. Fuck this. I'm going. Because I was fed up at this point. I was pissed. I was angry. And I'm sorry if I sound like an asshole for leaving my brother and my dad there. But I told them, I can't handle this. I can't handle it. I was fucking livid. I
can imagine that. I mean, you're trapped in there with your dad and your brother, then, and for 3 hours. I mean, that's got to be fart filled car.
We weren't trapped in the car. We had to get out of the car for our own safety. The car was flooding.
Okay.
The car was flooding. Water was coming into the car.
So
I'm just thinking, as a guy, I would have stayed in there anyway.
if this story is terrible.
Oh yeah.
But the way you told it. With such conviction and just fucking animosity.
I didn't even tell you
the one thing that really pissed me off the most. A towing guy came to look at our car.
Oh shit.
So in hopes that we were going to get picked up. So they're looking at the car to see where they can hook everything up to. And I guess they couldn't get an angle because the car is still halfway in a ditch and there's still water in that ditch to the point where maybe they couldn't get under it somehow, but they just looked at it, said a couple words to each other and said, fuck it. We're going to go and get somebody else that was on a different road somewhere.
Wow.
Nice. So I wanted to punch those motherfuckers in the face. I was ready to commit a murder that day. I was that angry. If I see that bald fuck and his little, and that little fucking dumb looking bitch ass motherfucking young boy he had, I am throwing hands and shoving their head in the goddamn ditch so they can fucking drown.
He's still holding on to that memory.
So, I got a crush.
So are you a little bitter?
Bitter doesn't begin to describe it.
This is all starting to make sense now, because while he's down there, I'm like messaging him once in a while. Going, hey, man.
I was not. That killed the trip for me right there.
I can imagine. Shit. I can imagine.
Yeah.
But I mean,
the airplane flight alone would have killed it for me.
That time of year, you know, the weather's not great. And all the other shit. If you go down there, you know, any other time, eight other months out of the year, yeah, it's actually a pretty decent place to be. But even at one time, I'm like, hey, man, you can go to the Masters Club while you're down. And he's like, can't do it. Little did I know, the reason he can't fucking do it is because he's with his whole family and their goddamn car is underwater.
And you know what sucks? With the only car we had was my sister's. That was it. That's the only I had people tell me, oh, you got to go to this place. You got to go to this place. You got to go to that place. And I'm just like, I wish I could tell you why I can't do that right now.
Yeah.
And that was something. We even got lucky. I was talking to a friend of mine who I met at the Exotica convention back in November. And we became good friends from that. And I was telling her the story because she also lived in Myrtle Beach, right? And she said to me something that I was like, I'm lucky I'm even fucking alive right now. She said one time the entire car flipped over and like got itself stuck in the ditch so much so that the people died in there because they were trapped.
Shit.
So I'm like, I'm like, how the fuck am I alive?
I do know we've been fortunate when we've been there that we haven't encountered all of that. We actually hit,
We
escaped a fucking hurricane down there one time, but I have seen videos and stuff of Ocean Boulevard just completely underwater you know, because when you live that close to the ocean, that, you know, here and probably similar in Jersey, all of your streams and everything empty into a river. So you do have backup, but it is, you know, if you have a lot of rain, you'll have flooding, you know, different places. You kind of know where it's going to be. Down there, those rivers are back inland. Everything is dumping into that fucking ocean, and you get high tide, you're fucked because it has nowhere to fucking go.
Well, think about how the shore feels every time there's a fucking hurricane. Like when Sandy happened, shore was devastated. It took them years to rebuild everything.
Yep. But I hate that you had to encounter all that, and that kind of skewed your view of Myrtle Beach. But goddamn, it was really fucking funny hearing you tell it.
Oh, I mean, I'm glad you were entertained by that. I will there's a couple of really decent restaurants over there, though.
If you had the ability to go, honestly, my favorite time of year to go is September. Because the weather, the only downside of that is there's always, that's the start of hurricane season, but you can kind of gauge that and be like, okay, there's one out there, but it's not coming. The weather is fucking great. Uh-huh. All of the kids are back in school. So there's not like a million people there, but there are some excellent, the best steak I've ever eaten in my life. I ate there at a place that was in a strip mall. Of all fucking places, it was what you would consider a strip mall, but it's called the Library, and it's a restaurant that's been there since like 73, 74.
Okay.
I ate there and it was literally the best steak I have ever eaten in my life.
We actually went to a really nice steakhouse too down there. I don't know where, I forgot the name of it. God damn it. I wish I could remember. It was in a resort though. That was the weird part. It was like, we got a reservation at a steakhouse that was in a resort.
Yes.
I forgot
that's probably like the Island Vista or one of those more up north type of deals.
Yeah, it was a little bit more up north if I remember.
Yeah, there's some of them that's got some really good restaurants in them, but you're also going to stay in a hotel that you're paying, depending on the season, you're going to be paying a lot of money for.
What I will say is, though, I didn't expect to get any good Italian food down there. I'm half Italian, so Italian food's really big for me, right?
Yeah.
I didn't expect any good Italian food. I probably had some of the best Italian food being there than a lot of the places I've been to here. And I've had a lot of good Italian food. I've had a lot of good Italian food in New Jersey. Down there, with the influx of people coming up from the north, they just find places to hunker down to and be like, oh, this is where we're going to start, you know, doing our thing and making good Italian food. And I was just like, fuck yeah.
there's a place that's been down there for years called Raimondo's, and I had just eaten there this last trip down. It's just a fluke that we ate there, and that place has been there for years and years, and it's old school Italian. It's no frills, you know, but excellent food. But down there you have the actual like population of Myrtle Beach itself is like, you know, 40 or 50,000 people. The actual city of Myrtle Beach. You have Myrtle Beach, you have North Myrtle Beach, and all this other little cities. But Myrtle Beach itself has got about 50,000 people in it that live there. Anytime from fucking May to September, there's a million people in that fucking town. Literally a million people. So if you get on TripAdvisor and type in Myrtle Beach and hit restaurants, you'll get 800 hits.
Yeah.
Just in the city limits of Myrtle Beach. And that's everything from fucking McDonald's to fucking steakhouse, seafood, Italian, Greek, French, all of it is there. So if you're a foodie, you can get down there and fucking, the money and you're a foodie, you can have anything you fucking want.
Too bad I'm broke.
No shit.
Say the only thing that I had down there then the times we went that wasn't good was a strawberry milkshake.
Yeah.
Two different places.
How their milkshakes. Fuck up a strawberry milkshake?
Oh, their milkshakes fucking suck down there.
Really?
Oh, terrible. Terrible shit. I think it was $9 I paid for that damn milkshake?
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, $9? $9.
But we were also at a place called Broadway at the Beach that is like here.
Oh, this I know. I saw Broadway at the Beach.
It's a tourist thing.
The place had been open for like 100 years or something. I mean, you know, the business had been open for a long time. And I thought, well, they're going, if it's $9, it must be amazing. I took two sips and threw it in the trash. It's fucking terrible. So, terrible milkshakes.
There is one thing I will say that I enjoyed on my trip because I wasn't having a good time up to this point. And my sister found out that there was a Metallica. Oh, wait, you seen this. I remember you saw this.
Yep.
There was a Metallica cover or tribute band, one of the two, that was playing at the House of Blues in Myrtle Beach. And my sister was like, oh, you want to go? And I said, you know what? Yeah, sure. Why not? I didn't think. I expect to be let down because it's not really Metallica.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But boy, was I fucking wrong. Those guys fucking were great. What were they called? Hardwired. I cannot say enough good things about them. That was a dope fucking show. That was a dope show.
I saw where you'd gone to that, and I'm like, well, hell, at least he went to the House of Blues. At least yeah. He's got there, because I could just feel the vibe through the messages. Like, he is not having a good time.
No, I was also like,
well, at least there was one thing.
I was going through a lot of personal issues at that time too, so that really kind of killed the entire trip. I mean, I also learned the extent of which my parents were looking to move down to North Carolina. So I was not happy about that because I don't want us to move. And I have all my friends here in the state of New Jersey. So,
yeah,
you know, I was beaten. I was really sad about that. Other things, which I'm sure we'll get to in a little while. But, it was rough. It was a rough trip on multiple accounts. I had some highlights here and there. But you know what? Most of it, I wish I could have enjoyed more. It was probably due to my own issues. But,
well, the plane trip and the fucking car getting underwater. Yeah.
Give it a second
chance. On day one, no less.
That wasn't you.
Yeah. Give it a second chance.
We talked about that you're a member of the Get After the TNA podcast Facebook group. We had thrown it out there that you were going to be a guest, and we asked for questions. So if you don't mind, I'm going to throw a few of these at you.
Oh, before you do that, I just want to say one thing. I challenged everybody in the comments. I've seen the shit you post. I ain't scared of you, motherfuckers. As great Bernie Mac once said, rest in peace. Yeah. I ain't scared of you, motherfuckers. So you better give me your best shots.
I'm gonna go ahead and do these because you do have a few voice messages. Oh, but wonderful. these are written questions, and these are from Heather. Number one, why are you called Motorboating Matt? Is it just because you're obsessed with tits, or is there a story?
Yes, with the obsession with tits, but
God bless the you. Whole,
yes, thank you. the whole thing of Motorboat and Matt came because on my old podcast, everybody there had a gimmick that related to sex in some way, shape, and form, and I had tried coming up with things that I was like, this isn't hitting. What rolls off the tongue, right? Motorboat and Matt. I love titties, right? And then start creating a persona around that.
There you go.
And I said, and I was like, oh, what else can I add to this? Head advocate of the big titty committee. It rolls off the tongue.
It does. It does. And I'm looking at your title under you with Undercover Brother. You're so fucking gimmicked up. You can fucking roll this all together.
See, you can but be you know like, what? I tried when we started Bromigos, I tried and they said, you know what? The Motorboat and Matt thing isn't really like working for this show. I mean, just stick with the Undercover Brother. I said, you know what? You're right. That I can see that because it's two different types of shows that have nothing to do with each other.
But it's still you. It's still,
yeah, I know. Like,
and I'm not advocating for anything, but I see no reason why it couldn't all just roll off the tongue. You'd have to have 30 seconds for your intro.
Yeah. See, that's probably like, why Harvin, I think that's why. So I, yeah, like, you know,
if he put all his titles up there, you wouldn't be able to see him on the damn screen.
Motorboat and Matt, head advocate of the Big Titty Committee and the Undercover Brother.
I said that once there, and then that's when they told me, it's like, yeah, it's not working. I'm just like, yeah, you're right.
we'll come up with some more shit for yourself, and then everybody will have a fucking 30 fucking word long name, you know? So that's the story behind it. It was basically a gimmick.
It was basically a gimmick that I just kind of turned into a whole thing. Like, for instance, and then the Motorboat and Matt music came in that my friends over at the Porn Stash podcast created for me, originally using the Edge music. And then we decided that, hey, we might be making money on this podcast soon, it'd probably be a good idea to not use that so that we don't get fucking sued.
Yeah.
And we decided to use some generic ass rock music underneath, which still worked. But yeah, you know.
On that subject, I'd like to thank Nathaniel Ratcliffe and the Night Sweats for not caring, not caring that we put this fucking song on YouTube. We owe
him a lot of thanks.
Yeah, it says no problem. What is the oldest sex partner you've ever had?
Ooh,
oh fuck. Well, I've only ever had two, so. The oldest one would probably be my ex-girlfriend back in 2020. We were about the same age.
I got you.
So,
back to the tits thing. This is the theme.
See the smile on my face?
Do you prefer real or fake? Even though you're saying, you know, you just ended a dry streak and all this other shit. I've seen the fucking pictures. You've been around. You've met some ladies. So you've been, if not full blown, getting you a handful, mouthful of all that stuff. You're at least standing beside them, nuzzled up against them a little bit, going, "God damn, those are fake. Those are fantastic."
So I love all tits. I want to start by saying that I love all.
Bless you.
Who said that? By the way, were they anonymous or no?
I don't know. But you got it, so you can claim it.
So whatever it is. So whoever asked that question, I love all tits. I prefer
that was Heather. Real ones. That was Heather. Yeah, Heather.
Oh, that was Heather still? Okay. So yeah, I love all tits, but I do prefer real ones. As far as like having them on a partner, so to speak. Not saying that having a partner with fake ones is bad. I just think that, you know, the feel of the real ones is the squishiness of it for me. You know, I like the squishy.
It's all about the squishy.
The squishy. It's all about the squishy.
I love the squishy.
I love me the squishy.
That's Sam's code name for pussy.
Squishy. Squishy.
Do you prefer younger or older women? I think she's trying to get it.
It sounds to me like she
because
is.
She kind of flipped a fucking.
There's a little.
She flipped the script on two fucking questions.
I am not opposed to anyone. But the oldest I would go right now is probably high 40s to 50 ish. Yeah, that's my oldest. I would probably go. I think it also depends on how the person looks, because I don't want to fuck no grandma, you know.
No. But
let me oil up that catcher's mitt.
Let me tell you something. As a man of experience here, I can tell you without a doubt, if you had you a woman between the ages of 40 and 52.
No, I thought you were
going
to go.
That's what I'm going for. No, what I go for.
Yeah, but, well, I'm just reiterating.
Okay.
Dude, they would rock your fucking world.
I know. I mean,
they would fucking rock your world because they know that even though you had like the bathroom thing with the whiskey dick and all this other shit, they would be like, "Oh, that's okay. That thing will fucking come up again. Let me show you this." They do it again. And then they bake you cookies.
Undercover brother loves him some cookies. but you know something? I've always had this like fantasy of like an older woman kind of taking me under her wing and like teaching me some things. That's why I kind of like being a part of this group, because there's a lot of older women that have very dirty minds.
Porn music.
Envy you, Mrs. Robinson.
Shit.
We could get like a really romantic shit going. Hit the Barry White. Can't get enough of your love, baby.
People talk about some of them, you know, being older. That you, have you seen? You know who Susanna Hoffs is?
Fuck, yeah. I don't know.
Lead singer for the Bangles back in the day.
Oh, shit.
Brunette. Oh, God, she was gorgeous. She's like 64, 65 years old.
Fucking smoke show.
Oh, my God.
Hold on. What was the name?
Susanna Hoffs. Double F. Her no, that's not her bra size. Susanna Hoffs. And she's in her 60s, but my God.
Holy fucking shit. No way.
Yeah. She's a fucking smoke show.
Yeah.
She was a smoke show back in the fucking late 80s.
Hey, hold on.
She had that look, man. She had a look on her face sometimes back when she was younger. Good Lord.
Halle Berry, too, for me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. J-Lo. Yeah. Selma Hayek.
Oh, God, Selma. Selma is just that. Oh,
oh yeah.
Okay.
Let me get after it.
Okay. 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 Oh, yeah. I got something special here for you, Matt. If you're ready.
Ooh. I'm ready.
Is he going to stand up and show you something?
No.
Hold on. I'm a technical fucking wizard. This is what I do.
Or so you claim.
Yes.
Good morning, boys. It's Melanie. How are my two favorite fellas today?
Oh, what about the third one?
How are you, Jason? My Bob Seger looking motherfucking friend. Pick up that damn guitar, baby. Mm-mm. Play me some Bob Seger, please. Come to Papa. And how's my Sam Hall, my favorite toehead?
Get out her tits are
boys,
huge.
Boys.
I think I'm
gotta
a wreck.
I tell you what, I have been listening to your podcast. Oh, honey. Love them. That Ray, baby, she is something. And I love her strapping book she has with her.
We're getting a fucking recap. I never listened to this.
But anywho, I've got a question for Matt.
Ooh.
Hey, Matt. How Hello. You doing, honey?
I'm doing well now.
I want to know, when you're behind closed doors, honey, tell me, do you like to dominate? Or do you want to be dominated? Mm. Tell me, baby. Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm. We all want to know. All right, guys. Well, you have a fantastic day. And I'll talk to you later. Bye.
The glasses are off.
Am I blushing?
Yeah.
Am I red?
Damn.
Welcome to the TNA world.
Yeah. Every fucking time she calls in. Mm-hmm. You know, I tell you what.
I think I'm a wreck. First time.
Whoa.
Join the club.
Hey, yeah, yo. You better go wash it while you get the fucking wrinkles out of it.
Oh, shit. That's the
Oh,
Melanie
my
James.
Lord.
Was Melanie James.
I've seen Melanie James.
Yeah.
Beautiful woman.
Yeah. Melon.
A lot of women.
Melon,
yep. And she hits that sweet spot of that age range I was just telling you about.
Ooh, she does.
I mean, she's not married. I'm looking for a.
She is.
Yeah. Oh, it's the married ones.
Yes. Oh, hell. No,
I don't know. So, maybe they swing a little bit. I don't fucking know.
To answer her question, I consider myself to be a switch. It depends on the situation for me, although I do tend to lean more on the submissive side sometimes, depending on the person.
Huh.
But then again, you don't have a fantasy of having an older woman taking under her wing without it being a little bit submissive. So
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I was getting ready to say. You did say that. And I'm going to tell you what, the reason why she asked that.
Yeah, boy. Yeah, because this actually is she's gonna love this. She's gonna love the answer.
Oh yeah, she's gonna hear this and be like, she's a naughty fucking girl.
Naughty
girl. But we
do you and your husband swing? Because I don't know if you want to make a trip to Jersey, but I could arrange some things.
She's a naughty little starling, that one.
I'm sure she is absolutely going to love the fact that that question, not the question, the delivery of the question,
yeah,
flustered you. I think she's going to be real fucking
happy. I was trying
to
get your damn attention. You weren't looking, and his glasses came on.
I saw it out of the corner. Right. He's like,
my cheekbones are kind of hurting from smiling so much. I can feel myself blushing.
I got a bone that's hurting over here.
Did you guys hear the thump under my desk when I heard the voice?
All right. We actually have one more.
Oh, boy.
Just one.
Just one.
You guys let me down. I was looking for a lot of them. Not you guys, but you. Come on, guys. I was expecting a lot.
Well, this is what happens.
We always hope for a lot.
We always try to get a lot, but we make, you know, we do what we do. We make chicken salad out of chicken shit. but and it never fucking fails. We appreciate the hell out of the listeners, and we appreciate the hell out of the people in the group. But when we're like struggling, because I'm horrible about posting stuff.
Yes.
When we're struggling, it's like, okay, we're going to record tomorrow. I need some shit. And they're all like,
it's all his fault. Not
but,
mine.
But at the same all time,
respect though. I came at you with this idea to have the pod kiddies, but like the pod kiddies and the group get involved.
Right.
And I was like, I'm so sorry. I did this last minute. I just thought of this idea now.
That's all right. And but we still had something out of it.
Yeah, we still had something out of it.
You got me flustered. It never fails. I can put stuff up there a week ahead of time. Crickets. Yeah. Not a fucking thing.
Yeah.
And then I can put stuff up there like 24 hours before we're going to record it. Bam, 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 bam.
But you know something though, because like I can't tell you, and this is my fault too. I can't tell you how many times I wish I could answer some of the questions you put out, but I don't have every time I think I want to like put in something. I'm like, this isn't even sexual. No one's going to fucking care about this fucking dumb thing I did. No.
And this is as good a time as any to say this. It's still the first month of the new year. We are kind of looking at different stuff. We've really gotten with the video stuff.
Yeah.
We are going to not necessarily change our format. It's always going to be the same.
Yeah.
But we actually got a couple of emails asking, hey, can you lay off the sex a little bit and go back to the beginning and some of the stuff that you guys did? And the thing of it is, it always had sex lined material in it because we act like we're 12. It's always going to be like, ha, that's what she said. You know, that kind of shit.
Pussy.
Yeah, but we are going to try to do the same because we don't want to pigeonhole ourselves because that's true. Eventually run out. And I think what they were talking about was just like we have really hammered a lot of the sex-centric stuff here in recent history, and it's just like bam, 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 and you don't have a breather from it. So
that was just so sexual. Well, we really hammered it.
See,
bam, bam,
see,
bam, bam.
I can't even tell a fucking story. Can't
even breathe from it.
So
I got a hammer and it's got the name Melanie James written on it.
Well, wait. Before you say that.
I know it's coming up next too.
Be quiet.
It's me.
Be quiet.
I'll be coming up next.
No.
New rock star.
Ooh.
Hello, Sam.
Hi.
Hello, Matthew. How's everybody doing this evening? I hope good. Your old girl's tired because it's been a long ass day. But I wanted to send in a couple questions for the episode with Matt. And I think people would like to know, like, how old you are, where you're from, some of your hobbies, some of your likes and dislikes and pet peeves and things like that.
Pussy.
Now for the nitty-gritty. Motorboat Matt.
There we go.
Oh, boy.
Do you live up to that name?
No.
Yes, I do.
What is some of your turn-ons and turn-offs with the ladies?
Oh, shit.
what's awesome. One of your sexual fantasies?
Go through one.
Oh, like perfect measurements.
Uh-oh.
What's your perfect measurement for a woman?
Oh, 8 inches.
I got to think on this one, Kat. Jesus. It.
My brain is like tired, but I wanted to, you know, get a few questions in. And Sam, take some notes and listen to Matt's answers. You might pick up on a couple things. You never know.
Okay.
But until next time, guys. Bye. Talk to you soon.
That's where her tits rubbing up against the phone.
So before I answer any question, I just want to say to you specifically, Jason, thank you for putting me in touch with Cassie Joe. No.
I almost cut myself. Go ahead.
Almost cut yourself. No. So you actually put me in touch with Kathy Joe because, you know, I was making some jokes because I love her voice. And I was like, Kathy, let me get after it. And I still will say, let me get after it. But I cannot say enough good things about her as a person.
Oh, she's dull.
I feel like anything I say would not be enough to actually tell you all how good of a person Kathy Joe truly is.
Yeah.
So that's my putting her over moment of the show. Now I have to remember everything she asks me because my memory sucks. So did you write any of this down?
Dude, she didn't have, they weren't questions for me.
Yeah.
But I don't, fuck. I have a bad memory. All right. So I guess as far as like the age goes, so I am 26 years old. I will be 27 in June when, 27 years ago, Jason had a illegitimate child that he didn't know about in Jersey.
In a bathroom in Atlantic City.
Yes, in a bathroom in Atlantic City of all places. Hey!
Was it a Walmart? Wasn't a Walmart, right?
As far as like hobbies go, I don't know if anybody knows this. I obviously podcasting is my hobby. Radio is my passion as far as industry goes. I also have a YouTube channel. I do video game stuff on there. If anyone's interested in that, it's called Ed0626. That's kind of how I started radio, more or less, because all my buddies that I met through YouTube were like, yo, you should do radio, Matt. You have a great voice. I'm like, oh, okay, fuck it, sure. And then in college, when I didn't know what major I wanted to do, I said, fuck it, radio. So
broadcasting.
So yeah, that's hobbies. Music is a hobby. I listen to that a lot. I watch a lot of wrestling, as you could tell from our conversation earlier in the show. That's just a few of them. Oh man, another one I remember was we went over some of the fantasies. Like the face sitting was a fantasy for me. The older women was a fantasy. So I'll throw that in there.
Mm-hmm.
Turn ons and turn offs. Oh wow, that's hard.
Getting laid, not getting laid.
Getting laid and not getting laid. Yes. I feel like a lot of my turn ons come from physical, whereas a lot of my turn offs come from personality. You know, if that makes any sense to you.
Yeah. So like, well said. Very nice. Well said.
Nicely done.
So like turn offs, these are maybe a little bit easier for me to say. Turn offs for me are definitely like rude, self-centered, selfish. My ex was a lot of those things, not rude, but she was definitely selfish and self-centered at times. And that was a very hard thing for me to deal with in our relationship. As far as, God, I just like how they treat other people, I guess that's the other thing. Like, how they treat service workers. I consider myself a nice guy. So like, I try to be nice to everybody. I try to like make small talk with people and stuff, make their days a little bit better. At least I try to.
Except for that tow truck driver in Myrtle Beach.
That tow truck, fuck that guy. So fuck him and his dumb-looking fucking partner. God. Turn-ons, physical-wise? I mean, obviously tits. That's great.
Maybe.
The proportions, though, that kind of fall into that turn-on thing, too, where it's like, what's the perfect proportions? Everyone's always says, oh, big ass. Oh, big tits. I'm a proportion guy. I like a nice, even distribution of each. And maybe,
it's balance.
Balance.
Yeah.
I don't mind them being a little bit on the thicker side, admittedly. Mm-hmm. I think a little more cushion for the pushing. I mean, I would date a skinny girl too, but it's not my personal preference. Eyes though. Eyes are a fucking turn on for me.
Oh,
something about a woman's eyes. When I look at it, I look at her, and I'm not saying this is like a blowjob joke. I know some people are going to take it that way, but it's like, oh, well, she's looking up at me. But no, but like eyes are like a really fucking big turn on for me. I don't know why. There's something about a beautiful woman's eyes.
For Jason, it's within the eyes is when they're looking down on him. Think about it.
Are you done?
Oh yeah. Oh shit.
As far as Kathy Jo goes, you don't have to tell us. She's a big part of this show and didn't ever intend to be. And the same thing with Melanie James.
Yeah.
There are certain staples of voices and things. They have helped us along by just being themselves. Now they've played things up. I can, Melanie James really doesn't talk like that.
I know she doesn't, but goddamn, I can listen to her do it all day.
Yeah. Yep. But she is definitely entertaining. And Kathy Jo, she's Kathy Jo. She has that voice. Sweetheart. And she's also a wonderful person. She does stuff for us. She doesn't have to fucking do any of this shit.
Neither one of them have to do anything.
No. And we appreciate it when they do. But
we got to give a shout out to Dumpy, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, believe it or not, I sent Matt. I didn't send it to you because, I don't know, you're a fuckface. I sent Matt a screenshot of a message we got on the TNA Facebook page from a guy in, let me look this shit up. Was it Iceland? I am so, yeah.
Yeah, I thought maybe it was fake or something.
No, I am so.
I like your show. I want to hear more. I thought, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
I
just deleted it. And I'm going to give him a fucking shout out as soon as I fucking find it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Say that name.
God. Daniel Stefan Hallerdorsen.
Real talk. If it's one place I want to go to one day, it's Iceland. I heard Iceland's beautiful.
I'm going to tell you something. Uh-huh. I've seen a few people. No, that was Finland. That was Finland.
Oh, yeah.
It was one of those lands.
We went to school with a girl from Finland.
There was a girl from Finland.
Oh. We went to school.
Oh, my God.
My Lord.
It was more like.
Can I say her name?
Oh, it was girl.
Can I say her name?
I don't give a shit. Like, she's listening.
Hanna Sumalainen. Hanna Sumalainen.
Was she hot?
Oh, yeah.
Gesundheit.
Oh, shit. Oh, yeah.
She was hot. Misery. Yeah, she sat next to me in art class. I didn't get a lot done.
Sam was drawing pictures of titties.
Oh, I was. Yeah, there was a lot of pictures in my head that I couldn't put on paper in that class.
God. My God, you creepy bastard.
You know,
Sam was probably the type in school to like draw a photo and give it to her. It's like, I drew this for you.
Oh my God.
Actually, she requested a picture that I drew one time. So she wanted to take it home with her.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
And you didn't capitalize on that?
I was stupid.
Mm. Yeah.
Very, very stupid.
Fucking 33 years later.
Still very stupid. Very, very stupid.
Yeah.
I'm so stupid.
He's so stupid.
So stupid.
Happy trails, honkies.
Son of a bitch! Give me a strength. One more night.